Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network.
Welcome back. This is You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetMGM Network. Femi and Bebfe hanging with you guys here on this Tuesday. 40 minutes from now, we'll hear from Nick Kostos with his thoughts on last night's Monday Night Football doubleheader. Lions beat the Bucks. Seahawks dispatch of the Houston Texans. Nick will also rap about the ALCS Game 7, which unfortunately saw my Seattle Mariners blow the game. And I also have, you got to give Toronto credit, as I was doing at the end of the last segment. Like, Toronto does deserve credit with what their lineup was able to do. And I mean, we have Rob Pizzola on every Wednesday. He's a big Blue Jays fan. He was at the game last night. So yeah, like, am I happy for Rob? Yeah, I'm happy for him, but I'm also pissed off. You know, because I should have been Seattle Mariners fans cheering like that last night in the streets of Seattle and at the Seahawks game, where there was like a collective groan at the Seahawks game when they all found out the result of the Mariners losing to the Toronto Blue Jays. But yeah, very, very unfortunate development as Dan Wilson galaxy brained the situation there in the bottom of the seventh and said, you know what, we're going to go with Eduardo Bizardo instead of Andres Munoz to try to get out of the jam. But hey, that's baseball. 20 minutes from now, we'll get into the Heisman Trophy market as we get into week 9, already halfway through the college football season. Alabama's Ty Simpson is the favorite. Is there a bet to be made? We'll answer that question coming up in 20 minutes. But before we bring on our executive producer, Bill Zimmerman, just wanted to share some quick thoughts about how I think about this World Series, which begins Friday night in Toronto. The Blue Jays have home field advantage. They'll host games 1 and 2. Dodgers will host games 3 through 5. And then the Blue Jays will host games 6 and 7, of course, 5 through 7, if necessary. And with this matchup, I actually think that if necessary part is a big one, because I think the Blue Jays are in trouble against the Dodgers. And I'm not sipping on haterade. I'm not just being sour grapes and being like, oh, my team lost, so I'm rooting against the other team. No, I just said this exact same thing had the Mariners won. That's why this angers me so much, honestly, because like, hey, like the Seattle Mariners were going to get that big moment of the champagne, winning the pennant. And I knew after that, come Friday, reality was going to set in and the Dodgers were going to quickly dispatch of them. And I think that actually happens with the Toronto Blue Jays as well. The Dodgers are just the better team and they've been the best team all season and the Dodgers are going to win. And that's why the betting market, despite Toronto having home field advantage, over at BetMGM, the series price is Dodgers minus 220, Blue Jays plus 180. Once again, that is with the team that is on the road. They're minus 220. Now, for Toronto, I know Bo Bichette last night was saying that he expects to play in the World Series. They've not had him throughout the postseason. They didn't even have him for much of September after his injury early in September around Labor Day weekend. But I get it, and Bichette's an awesome bat, and he was really good this season. I don't even think that's going to help. And if anything, maybe that throws this lineup out of its mojo and out of the groove a little bit. I'd be a little bit careful with where they place Bo Bichette in the lineup. Like, he's that dude, and John Schneider has a tough decision on what he wants to do with that. But who knows how those things go when guys come back after a team really gets rolling like the Toronto Blue Jays have been. Now, game one, the Dodgers are a minus 150 favorite. I agree with that. It's likely to be Yoshinobu Yamamoto on the mound as the Dodgers are well rested, having closed out the Brewers last Friday night. I think the conversation with the series is more so not who wins, but how long does the series go? And I tend to believe that the Dodgers will at least split in Toronto, win either game one or game two. And when that happens, the series is not going back to Toronto. They're not going to make the mistake that the Mariners made and let this go back to Toronto for a game six and a potential game seven. I like the series under, in terms of total games, under 5.5 total games, plus 140. That is how I will be betting the World Series, because I do think the Dodgers are going to win it. And in terms of World Series MVP, I am on Team Kike Hernandez with the other members of the crew here on You Better You Bet. 150-1. Kike, get it done. Don't let us down. But I do believe that the Dodgers will be your World Series champions yet again. And I think they get it done in five, maybe even four. But I think it ends up going to a game five where the Dodgers close it out next week. But let's go ahead and bring in our executive producer, Bill Zimmerman, who joins us now with the top stories here on a Tuesday. Bill, how we doing after what was a pretty epic night of sports last night with two Monday Night Football games and a Game 7 in the ALCS?
Hey, Femi, it was a packed night of sports. I mean, almost too much sports going on there with that. But I feel for you. You know, every fan has been in that position where your team just can't get it done, even though every sign points that they should be able to. And I've always liked the Mariners. When I was a kid in the 80s, for some reason, I liked the Mariners, Alvin Davis and Harold Reynolds. So it's a team I always cheer for, you know, so it sucks.
Yeah, it's so weird because like the Mariners are one of those teams, because especially for millennials, there's like these weird pockets of Mariners fans across the country, because like they had like the coolest guys in the 90s. They had Griffey, they had Big Unit, A-Rod, when everybody loved him when he was coming up. Edgar Martinez was awesome. Like, they had so many
Stone
cool
Cold
players.
Jay Buhner?
I mean, Jay Buhner with his Stone Cold Steve Austin look at the goatee. Like, they had all these awesome players. Dan Wilson was also on those teams. But, like, all these awesome players, and there's, like, weird people that I'll meet. I'm like, oh, like why do you root for the Mariners? Like, oh, I love Griffey, the backwards cap, and all that stuff. And, last night was supposed to be that moment for Seattle baseball, but instead, it's heartbreak. And of course, as the Seattle fans know, tonight we can turn our attention to the NBA, where Oklahoma City will be raising their banner for the NBA championship that they won last season. So that's where things stand in Seattle sports. But hey, I guess they have the Seahawks, right? The team that I don't care about. But hey, here we go. Let's get to the top stories and start talking some football so I can take my mind off of what last night was on the diamond. Bill, what's the number one thing we need to know this afternoon?
Femi, those Seahawks are story number two. Story number one, we're going to start with the Detroit Lions. They beat the Tampa Bay Bucks 24-9. Detroit had control of this one basically the whole game. Jahmyr Gibbs, 220 yards from scrimmage, two touchdowns, including a 78-yard touchdown run. Femi, not only do the Bucks lose this one, but they lose Mike Evans as well. Evans breaks his collarbone. He's going to be out around 2 months. Will be lost for just about the rest of the regular season. Baker Mayfield's complaining about the referees after the game. This was a rough look for Tampa, and Detroit really put their stamp on this one as one of the best teams in the NFC.
Yeah, I will say this with Baker Mayfield's comments about the refs. There were some weird calls, like some of the reviews that I'm like, are we sure? Like, what's going on here? Like, I don't know. Like, the review process seemed like it's gotten so complicated. Like, the Lions challenge one thing, but ended up getting the challenge right because of another thing. Who knows? Like, let's call in Russell Yerk to find out more. Like, I don't understand any of it now. Like, it feels like they've so insanely convoluted that as fans, we don't even know what's happening. But the overall takeaway for me from last night, and I know Gibbs was awesome, and he definitely deserves to be one of the headliners with the game that he had, most all-purpose yards that he's had in his NFL career. The headliner for me, though, is the Detroit Lions defense. What a freaking performance by the Lions defense. And Kelvin Shepard, the broadcast did a great job highlighting him because he's doing a phenomenal job as the defensive coordinator for Detroit with Aaron Glenn now with the New York Jets. And we'll get into him in a little bit here in this segment. But that Lions defense was so decimated on the back end. Terrion Arnold, Kirby Joseph, You had DJ Reed, who's already on IR. Brian Branch was suspended. And they completely shut down one of the more efficient offenses in the NFL. I mean, think about how we were talking about Tampa Bay going into this game. It was Baker MVP. What a job that Todd Bowles is doing. The team is 5-1. And now they're getting back Mike Evans. And now they're getting back Emeka Ibuka, who had a hamstring injury and didn't miss any games because of it. Like, Tampa was supposed to go in there and put up points. That's why the total was getting bet to the over prior to kickoff. It ended up closing like 54.5. But the Lions defense says, no, we're not allowing it. We're going to shut these dudes down. And similar to what we said yesterday about the San Francisco 49ers and the job that they've been doing with all these injuries, you can say the same about the Detroit Lions. And I know it collapsed at the end of last year when they had like 10 guys on IR on defense, but this team, they are winners, man. And Dan Campbell has brought a winning culture to this organization to where, hey, yeah, we got guys injured. So what? Next man up. Let's play how we play and let's go out there and win the freaking game. And that's what they did last night. Full marks to the Detroit Lions. They have the best argument, in my opinion, for best team in the NFC. Like, I think the road rolls through Detroit. And I'm saying this as somebody who likes the Green Bay Packers, but I think the Lions end up winning the North, and the Lions have a very good shot to maybe be the one seed like they were last year. And if barring health, and they don't have a million guys on IR, maybe they can make a deeper run than the shocking divisional round exit this past January. Bill, hit me with the next story.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
I mean, the Monday Night Football nightcap, the Seahawks beat the Texans 27-19. Seattle jumped out to a 14-point lead. This one basically controlled the game from there. Texans offense was not good. Neither was CJ Stroud. Couldn't even average 5 yards an attempt in this one. And to make matters worse for Houston, Femi, Nico Collins has a concussion, and we're going to have to see about his status moving forward.
This game was such a beatdown. Like, I've watching this game, and I'm taking it in because I laid the 3 with the Seattle Seahawks, and like, yeah, it's great. You know, obviously I'm still like licking the wounds of the Mariners loss, so like I just felt numb throughout the entire second half of this one. But Seattle could have like destroyed Houston, and they did when you watched it, but like the scoreboard doesn't say that. But Seahawks turned the ball over 4 times. Like, let's just say this. If you told someone before the game, you know what, Seattle's going to have 4 turnovers, what do you think happens? We're all jamming Houston money line. Like, our lives depend on it. Like, we're all in there just saying, Houston, money line, Houston, money line. Nope. How about Houston, no chance? How about Houston, every yard, it felt like it was the toughest yard gained in NFL history. This Seahawks defense is legit. And when you go up against that defense and you got a terrible offensive line like the Texans do, and you're on the road and it's a raucous environment, you have no chance. Like, I know Stroud was bad in the game. I don't even put all the blame on CJ Stroud. I'm like, dude, like, what's he supposed to do? Especially when Nico Collins gets hurt. The guy was under duress the entire game. How is he supposed to function against this Seahawks defense? I put the blame on the Houston Texans front office with Nick Caserio. Why the hell did you trade Laremy Tunsil away? Like, what's going on? Like, you make those trades expecting to be better. No, how about worse? This offensive line is worse than it was last year. And last year, it was a bottom 5-0 line. Like, the Texans cannot function. And it's such a shame because Houston's defense is actually legit. I mean, like, look at the play that Will Anderson made, the sack fumble recovery on Sam Darnold in the end zone. Like, I bet Will Anderson before the year started to win Defensive Player of the Year. That ticket's dead because the team success isn't going to be there, but he is elite. Like, this defense deserves so much better. And if they just had an average offense, the Texans, I think, could actually challenge Indianapolis for winning the AFC South, but it's not average. And it's not just the fact that the roster isn't there. I mean, DeMeco Ryans as well. What is he doing on the sideline? The end of the game scenario, like 27-19. Oh, well, we told him to kick the ball out of bounds. Well, he didn't. And now you just lose and you're not going to get the ball back. Like, I don't know how they're managing these games or what they're doing, but Houston is terrible. And I think they're going to continue to be terrible with this O-line, because you have a bad O-line, you're not going to be able to score points. And if you can't score points in this league, it's going to ask way too much of your defense to try to carry you. I don't think the Texans are sniffing anywhere close to the postseason. As for the Seahawks, I mean, I think the Seahawks, and I said it last week when we talked about the 14 playoff teams, they're going to the playoffs. And I think we're going to get three teams out of the NFC West. And Jaxon Smith-Njigba, this dude is on pace to break Calvin Johnson's receiving yards record. He is on one this season. Like, he is one of the elite wide receivers that we have in the NFL. Last night, another buck 23, 8 catches and a touchdown. Like, that guy is in the conversation with Jonathan Taylor and Christian McCaffrey and Bijan Robinson for Offensive Player of the Year. And Puka Nacua is in it as well once he gets back healthy. But JSN and Sam Darnold have an awesome, awesome connection. The only issue I have with the Seahawks is Sam Darnold. And when they get to the postseason, can you trust that guy to win playoff games on the road? Because I don't see them winning the NFC West. I think the Rams will do that as long as Stafford can stay healthy. I don't like Sam Darnold on the road in the playoffs. We saw it last year. It was a disaster. And I think this year, maybe it's not going to be as bad as it was in that game against the Rams. But I don't have a whole lot of confidence in him going forward. So great win. I think it'll be a great season for the Seahawks. But low upside, if you ask me, on what this team can be in the month of January. Bill, hit me with the next one.
I mean, this is not exactly breaking news, but the Jets are a disaster. They are 0-7. Everyone's criticizing Aaron Glenn. Everyone's criticizing Justin Fields. And Woody Johnson chimed in today on his coach at QB. Listen up.
You know, it's hard when you have a quarterback with, you know, with a rating that he got, you know. It's, I mean, he has the ability, but something just is not jiving. But if you look at any head coach of a quarterback like that, you're going to see similar results, if you will, across the league. The defense is pretty good. If we can just complete a pass, it would look good.
I mean, I've never heard an owner crush their own quarterback like that. If we could just complete a pass, he gave Glenn a pass. What do you make of these comments?
Oh, I make of it that Aaron Glenn probably not going to be one and done, since Woody Johnson clearly believes in him. I know he also said that he gives him a hug and always says that he believes in him, which is, all right, whatever. I know Aaron Glenn's legacy, so do what you want to do, but that seems a little bit strange. But Justin Fields is not starting on Sunday. And I know, like, Woody Johnson said, well, no, it's the coach's decision. Nah, let's be real. We all saw the story last year where Woody Johnson was suggesting that they should bench Aaron Rodgers. You think he's going to let them convince them that they should keep Justin Fields after those comments? Like, come on. I think the Fields era in New York is done. I'm guessing it's going to be Tyrod Taylor this Sunday, where they're a 6.5-point dog. And I might end up getting to the window with the New York Jets. Stay tuned for that one later on in the week. But Justin Fields is over in Florham Park. Now, the owner can't say that, and you keep your job. Bill, hit me with the last one before we had to break.
Femi, NBA regular season tips off tonight. We're going to have the Thunder and the Rockets. Thunder are in a 6.5-point favorite as they try and defend their title. Plus 240 over at BetMGM. The nightcap in this one, Warriors-Lakers. Warriors, a 2.5-point road favorite.
I'm fired up for the NBA. I need basketball back in my life. And October, this is why it's one of the great sports months. Get the Equinox coming up here shortly. I can't wait to watch these games. I have bets in both of these games, which we will reveal later on at 6:40. But as for OKC being a massive favorite, in this new parity-driven NBA, I'm not so sure I'd be jamming plus 240 on the Thunder to repeat as NBA champions. We'll talk more about that later on in the program. On the other side, though, we break down the Heisman Trophy market here on You Better You Bet.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.